Hello, humans. It's Dan from the Fourth Wall here. A couple of notes. One is that we recorded this podcast on a Sunday morning, and on that Sunday afternoon, two things happened. A, 21 Savage was arrested by ICE, and as a news podcast in some related sense, we have to say that, or I have to say that. Apparently, 21 Savage had overstayed a visa and was originally an English citizen. This contradicts heavily with, claims that he's from Atlanta, the Zone 6 shit. It's very interesting. It's developing. Sean and I will probably talk about it next week. But we really didn't know about it. The news broke 30 minutes after we stopped recording, so there's no reference to it in this episode. Note number one. Note number two is also what happened that afternoon was the Super Bowl. Mentioned that maybe we would record an episode or I'd record a little thing afterwards to talk about if it were any interesting music-wise, and there really wasn't. It was a very meh performance, as I suspected it would be. And so you can listen to the entire Super Bowl conversation that we have after the podcast kind of with that in mind. Anyways, enough of me talking. I'm really tired and I need to edit this thing. So here's AudioFace 82. Hello, humans, and welcome to AudioFace, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters.
I hate that you put irreverent. I can't fucking say that word, you asshole.
Just practice. Just
no, it doesn't work like that.
Did you do some wall sits while you're just yelling the word irreverent?
No, it doesn't work like that.
And
then you're going to put me back in my elementary school days and like make me eat marbles. Be like, you will enunciate properly. I told him to go, right, suck my nutsack.
Is that Sean. When you were in Catholic school?
No, dude, I did not go to Catholic school, thank God. Mom was attempted to put me in for a second, then the whole incident happened, and she realized, you probably would have burnt that place down. I'm like, yeah, I'm also baptized Lutheran. There's a problem there.
I'll quote the headmaster when I was kicked out of my Catholic school. Headmaster Daniel has a a flippant disregard for authority.
Flippant disregard for authority. Yeah, I would have been like, hey, Martin Luther's my boy. I'm going to burn this down.
This is a podcast about music news and music culture. This podcast has nothing to do with our ongoing trauma from religious upbringings. However, this is a podcast in which we'll be talking about a little bit of music that came out over the past 2 weeks.
It's like
two
all music, really.
We are only releasing one, we're only reviewing one album that truly came out this week. Stuffed and Ready by Cherry Glazer. Yeah. However, we're also reviewing Why You So Crazy by Dandy Warhols.
Even more hipster ass.
Yeah. this is a pretty hipster podcast. Ooh, but also, man. I'm hearing rumors that there's a game of some kind that a certain broadcasting associate, a different evil three-letter prevents you from saying the words of for fear of copyright infringement.
Do, 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 do.
So you can't even say Superb Owl in the proper way without the NFL coming for your ass. So that's apparently happening. We're going to be talking a little bit about
really?
That halftime show. Yeah, I learned this today.
What about lighting a bowl?
You could do that.
So we're going to talk about...
Well, what about if you light a Super Bowl? You could technically talk about it in that context. But anyways, we're going to be talking about we're going to be having the best conversation ever because we're going to be talking about the halftime show that we haven't seen yet. And if it's really bad, I'll record like a quick thing afterwards going through my thoughts because this is a bit of a shit show. That's going to be our first music discussion of the year because it involves musicians and doesn't involve Janet Jackson. So without any further ado.
Anyways, so Caged the Elephant released a fucking single, Ready to Let Go.
Yeah, because they are probably coming out with an album this year.
I'm with it. I fucks with Caged the Elephant a lot. And the single I fucks with. Both singles today, this episode, fucks with. Solid Caged the Elephant song, didn't sound dated or anything. So I like the piano in the background. You know, as a pianist. And I was just playing for like half an hour right now before the podcast, so.
While I was busy firing off some hot tweets.
Yeah, exactly. Stay off Twitter, folks.
Stay off Twitter, everyone.
I quite enjoyed it. And I didn't realize that they were going to be releasing something this year. So it was kind of a pleasant surprise to see a single from them.
Is it about time?
It's their due. Because I think the last one was 14, I like to say.
15 was 15. Tell Me I'm Pretty.
Tell Me I'm Pretty, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're definitely long due for that. Although, yeah. I will say, I didn't like Tell Me I'm Pretty as much as Melophobia.
Well, Melophobia is like, that's a good album.
And Melophobia is, to be fair, probably the I don't realize it. I didn't think I realized it then, but I'm now just realizing it, that Metalphobia is definitely my favorite Cage the Elephant album.
100%.
I used to think that their original one was my favorite, but it's like not good, even close
no,
in comparison.
No. That's a damn good album.
Yeah, tell me I'm pretty with... Go ahead.
I was going to go into the other single.
But. Oh, I was just going to say that, just to wrap up, Tell Me I'm Pretty was definitely not as good as Metalphobia, but that it was their best album, Metalphobia, so it's hard to do that. So I'm hoping this one tries to get some of that fun back.
Next one. And then Interpol released it.
Interpol.
Yeah, Interpol. Fine Interpol. Mess. Interpol. Interpol. Interpol.
Well,
I don't give a fuck. I'm not from England.
They released Fine Mess. Yes. I wanted to try to figure out if this was just something that meant to be on the Marauders sessions. Yeah. And it probably is, logically.
I kind of assumed, because I go, they're not going to release an album this year. I hope not. Don't pull a Damon Albarn, please. Because we liked their last album a lot.
You haven't heard Interpol's double album? Interpol's 2-hour album, partially produced by Metro Boomin.
Dude, don't do that. See, at least 1975 is splitting them up by a year and saying, and they warned us ahead.
6 months.
Well, they don't. He says he may release it in May or in summer, whenever it's done.
Okay.
So
I was under the impression that it was already done. Let's not.
That's okay. Now, Interpol, if they just throw in another album, back, unless they like somehow work something, some magic out of their ass and make something well, because their last album was solid. We both liked it. And this single is good too. It's solid.
Yeah.
They're both good. I both recommend it.
Interpol, I think, won an Audio Face Award. It was very close to winning an Audio Face Award for Best Rock Album.
Yes, I have to look back at the tape.
Because Marauder was very good. Roll the tape. and unfortunately, we have too much tape from that year. But anyways, very good. Fine Mess.
Yep.
Speaking of too much tape, let's get in the news really fast.
Oh, and this is, I wanted just to put a picture of Tekashi 6ix9ine in a suit, trying to look
in
all
his
pretty.
His orange jumpsuit? Oh, what?
No, in a suit when he was in the court hearing.
Oh man.
Of the, I need to wear a suit for the judge to like me. By the way, he
22-year-old Daniel Hernandez.
Yeah. he plead guilty to a lot of shit being in the game.
Including, but not limited to, racketeering,
firearm possession, drug trafficking, I think accessory to murder.
Yeah.
And other shit that I don't know what this game was.
Let me just remind you, because we can go into this a little bit, but I want to remind you of 6ix9ine's lawyer's defense. Remember the I'm just a character, this is just an act, I'm just playing, this is all just, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah, that shit didn't work out super well. But
he snitched out his game.
Yeah,
heavy snitched him out.
If you just slowly roll in the background, we won't do this, but Rap Snitch Canisius by MF Doom.
Dude, literally.
And Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
Got the whole label set up for years. But yeah,
literally, he snitched out his whole gang, and they say we might need to put him in witness protection. I'm like, yeah, he's gonna get murked off.
People tried to kill him when he was just normal Tekashi-ing, like when he was just fucking around producing music videos and shit.
Looking pretty boy ass.
Now people are really gonna try to kill him.
He gonna die.
Yeah, including the fact that he ratted out Chief Keef, one of his former associates. So, 6ix9ine provided prosecutors with information pertaining to the attempted shooting of fellow rapper Chief Keef, which also has to involve his gang affiliations and associations and why that led there. So, fuck around, get the whole label sent up for years.
And he gonna die.
Yeah. It's good. We'd like to encourage here on Audio Face, paying attention to the law and loving the law and that shit like that. But honestly, it's just so funny to watch 6ix9ine's career end so just stupidly.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful disaster.
It's why we do Audio Face sometimes. It's really not the music that we're reviewing like we're about to view right now.
Just
it's
SoundCloud just rappers going to jail.
Dunking on SoundCloud rappers. It's my bread and butter.
Dunking on Dave Rubin is a sport. Dunking on SoundCloud rappers is the icing on the cake of the sport.
Okay, dunking on Dave Rubin is like, never mind, I'm not going to go too far, not that podcast. Why Are You So Crazy?
Why Are You So Crazy by the Dandy Warhols. 40 minutes long, I can't.
12 songs.
12 songs. This is interesting.
Very interesting.
Very eclectic, very fucking hipster. Some great shit and some just strange.
So the Dandy Warhols I've loved for a stupid amount of time.
I really haven't listened to them much. Like, I've I've listened to some of their things, but I never got into them.
The first album I listened to was Welcome to the Monkey House, which came out all the way in 2003.
Woo! That's Tale of the Thief 2003 era.
Yeah, and I always remember the coolest thing about the Dandy Warhols. Like, they're a Seattle band, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I believe so. Pacific, I know they're the Pacific Northwest. Yeah.
Definitely American. They have this very English rock kind of vibe and sound to them that I've always found really interesting. And so I almost like accidentally placed some of their biggest songs in my head as like English rock songs, even though they're not. But their older stuff could definitely sound like The Last High, Plan A. I'm speaking from Welcome to the Monkey House. There's Bohemian Like You, which I think is their most well-known song that came out a couple years later. But there's just a bunch of stuff throughout their whole history that's just like interesting rock. I'm personally a big fan. So yeah, this album came out last week. We wanted to review it this week because we had some overflow. And it's very interesting. For better, it doesn't sound too much like the Dandy Warhols, because the Dandy Warhols sometimes seem like they have the same three or four chord progressions and slowly weave those throughout all their songs. And it's not quite a sound. It's just more like keeping the same like tone that you've kept for the past decade and a half throughout your music. And it was definitely beginning to get stale on their previous album. I can remember that. And that's still here to some extent, but like in two or three songs, and the rest is kind of doing a different thing.
It's a very different.
Yeah. I mean, some of the songs, I will say there are some songs that sounded too almost Americana in a way for me, where I'm just I already know how the next 3 minutes of the song is going to go. I think that was Small Town Girls where I hit that. And it was like Small Town Girls to the Church, Next Thing I Know. This is probably one of the more American-influenced Dandy Warhols albums that's been released, which I think is really interesting.
Well, the first half of the album is kind of experimental in a way. Like you have an intro song, Fred and Ginger, and the second song, Terraform, is basically experimental. And I go, whoa, I'm with it. And then the third song is a normal rock song right after that. And then it's this hit and miss type thing of the whole album, where it's one song and one genre kind of, and then the next one, boom, 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 and there's no kind of cohesion to it.
Yeah.
I can say that
word.
And
it's not like there's even songs that kind of like guide you between the genres, which other albums have done. It's just like,
it's just boom, here's this, boom, here's this. And the experimental is actually really good. I like the song Terraform a lot. And I wish they kind of kept that sound the whole album. I think they could have had something very wonderful on it, but then they kept going back and forth and not picking a theme of the album to me, and it was kind of the same thing with Tori Amos' album, of everything would abrupt, or the end would end very abruptly, and the changes, none of the transitions to song to song really worked. So some of the songs were fantastic, some of them were kind of boring, but overall it's a decent album. I like the experimental stuff. They tried something new. It kind of worked, kind of didn't. It's like half and half. So, but just pick a goddamn theme, people.
What were your thoughts on the last two songs, Forever and Ondine? Because they had the most, like, rock piano, I felt like.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I like the last two songs. But it kind of got drowned out by the beginning of the album.
Right,
that makes sense.
Because you listen to a song like Terraform, which is at the beginning, and then you get to Ondine at the end.
Yes.
And it's just, it's an entirely different vibe, what you're going
for. Totally different.
And rock albums do this all the time.
Yeah,
they end in some kind of like sort of classical in the music sense way, with pianos and crescendos and things like that to kind of wrap up the album. But usually there's a build up to that. Mm-hmm. Whereas with this album, it's kind of like there's a path, but that path has like six other ways to veer off of that course that feel like where the album is going. And so overall, it doesn't like work to its best,
so.
But it's not horribly a bad album. It's just maybe
there's so many ideas. So try to, instead of 45 ideas, maybe pick 20.
Organize them.
So our rating system this time is temperature, because there's polar vortex and shit ton of rain here in Southern California.
Okay, so we call a shit ton of rain in Southern California is really just standard ass winter.
Yeah, for most people.
What we're calling it in the rest of the good United States is minus 60 degree temperatures, usually not even seen in the Arctic. So, keeping that in mind, colder temperatures are more likely to get you frostbite instantly. So the hotter temperatures are better.
This is a solid, like, 68 on a Wednesday.
I'm giving Fahrenheit. correct?
Yes, Fahrenheit.
Okay,
A solid...
Well, let's use Fahrenheit for the sake of most of our listeners.
Okay, well, I was about to say, I'm like, that's why I use Fahrenheit. Everything I use is in metric in my brain. I'm like, I have to do Fahrenheit for the
I'm also
the
telling
people.
You that minus 60 is my low point. So plus 60 is sort of high for me.
My high point is Death Valley in July.
Okay, so we're talking 120.
130. Like, okay. You want to die of heat, fire, fuego, Mars, the surface of Mars. And then you have Pluto.
Before this gets too on the Kelvin scale, let's just...
right?
my arbitrary ranking for this album, I'm going to put it around 48 degrees.
All right.
You know, it's brisk. I'm more of a
A 48 degree morning when you go and play golf, when it's like a little misty El Dorado, you feel good. It's like that crisp, clean air.
I'm just going to say it's like Bay Area air, which is like always crisp and clean.
Yep.
Maybe you're playing golf by Oakland Airport.
Oh, it's a golf at Oakland Airport. It's actually a nice course.
Yeah.
TBH.
Not too bad. Anyways, the FBI, this is sort of an Fibby. Update before we get to the story, Fibby.
I forgot about this.
There was a pretty, the worst mass shooting in American history, hashtag no politics, was at this...
Route 91 festival in Vegas, and they've concluded an investigation with no motive.
Yeah, I mean, they investigated the hell out of this. They looked at the room. They analyzed the scene of the crime, a bunch of pictures showing all the different guns that were bought.
Interviewed many people thoroughly for over a year, and they just couldn't come up with anything. Okay.
And that's not to mean
wild.
That's not to say that there's like no motive. I mean, the motive died with the gunman, probably.
Exactly.
Like, there's probably like a reason behind it. But I mean, as far as what we can tell from other people, there is.
No one exactly knows why, which sucks for a lot of the survivors and stuff. And some of them, they're like, okay, well, there's some closure.
Right.
There's kind of closure in a way, and other people say it's left open. So
I mean, never mind that there are some survivors of Route. Of this, like,
there's a lot.
There are some survivors of this that have since been in other mass shootings.
Which is hilarious.
Never mind in a bad way. Like, never mind that.
Yeah, it's hilarious in a bad way.
Never mind that, thing that's there. It's, I guess, just interesting how we talk about mental illness not just in situations where they're gunmen, but with musicians and what they're dealing with. And a lot of times their struggles are a little bit more open because they're musicians and they, I guess, their lives get out more. But I don't know, this is a really weird note. That's there, because this time we didn't really find any motive, and you're just gonna have to go without that closure, unfortunately.
So, Stuffed and Ready by Terry Glazer.
There's no great segue between that.
No.
But,
32 minutes long, I don't know how many songs, I think 10?
Let me get you the songs.
12.
Terry Glazer, the album, has 10 songs.
10 songs, I was right at the first. So, basically, hipster rock is the best way I could describe the entire album. It picks a thing and it sticks to it the whole time. Kind of boring, kind of lackluster to me. Nothing really stuck out as much as I wanted it to. Because of the day and age of rock, day and age of what music is, and especially in 2019, there's so much you can do. And this felt kind of outdated. It felt like there was stuff missing in each song, if that makes sense. Production was fine, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't creative to me. There wasn't enough in it, it just felt bland.
Right.
Which, I mean, if you just want basically a normal rock album in a way, something that you don't get too often, this is it for you. But if you're like me, I always try to push stuff. It just felt outdated in a way. It felt rushed and, not that creative.
Yeah,
I never listened to any of her stuff before, so I have no idea what her sound is. So I can't have anything to go back on and compare it to. But overall, I didn't like it that much. I don't know how you felt for the album.
Yeah, I've known about Cherry Glazer. I believe it's a group of three people with one lead front woman.
There's somebody on NPR named Cherry Glazer, and I was so fucking confused when you put that down. I go, wait, isn't there like some interviewer or somebody on NPR that does that?
So this has nothing to do with Cherry Glazer of KCRW.
Exactly, KCRW. I'm like, why is... When you put that down, my brain was exploded. I'm like, wait, that's... What?
However, she actually did interview Cherry Glazer back in 2014. So that does exist.
That's fucking Cherry Glazer interviews Cherry Glazer.
That's very hilarious.
That's wild. I was actually about to ask. I think they were on KCRW. I wonder if she did that.
I'm going to link actually to that. Give them some nice free publicity, but I'll link that in the description to KCRW of this podcast.
That's where Morning Becomes Eclectic comes from.
It's local KCRW. NPR here.
Our local NPR in Southern California. They're out of a fucking basement in Santa Monica because they do it for the people.
I mean, if NPR is anything better than a basement, I actually have concerns.
It's true.
Anyways, so I had listened to Cherry Glazer, the artist, before. It's a group of the artists. I believe it's a group of three people with one lead front woman. I'd heard them as early as... They released an album in 2014 called Haxel Princess. And there were just a lot of random hipstery shit things that were on there that I just found that was like kind of cool. I vibe with them. But they have kind of a slower, calmer, like rock sound that relies a lot on kind of strumming and riffs. And that thing indie does where the lyrically, it kind of makes no sense. It's kind of meant to be off-putting, which I think is what I happened to me and what I realized was happening again when I got to the second song on the album, Daddy. Cause the lyrics are just very like a little strange, a little out there, a little interesting. Anyone can listen to that for themselves, but musically speaking wise, it was okay. And if you're in that sort of indie world of things, it might do something for you. But yeah, it just sort of felt like a sound that was missing a bit of energy or like a bit of a, I don't want to say pulse and say like it was like dry or drab or bland. Cause I'm definitely avoiding saying those things. I wouldn't say it's that, but it's missing its tone and energy. Whereas the Dandy Warhols, to compare and contrast in that slight way, have that energy, but they've had that same energy for the past 15 years. They haven't sort of changed it. Energy manifesting itself in the sound, what I mean. That's one way to explain an album. But yeah, were there any like highlights or things from this album?
There was just the whole thing just kind of melted into one theme. It didn't, nothing stuck out to me in the album.
Yeah, which happens.
Which has the hiccups right now, so.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get that on the mic.
That's going to be great.
I can't drink water. I did my teeth thingy.
Oh, right. That's going to suck.
Okay. That's why I'm looking at that water. I'm like, my salvation, but I can't have that. This sucks.
like granddad.
I gotta wait like another 15 minutes.
Like granddad on the boondocks drinking orange juice while the Contrinians are like, just...
Oh, that's fine. I'll have the cheap orange juice. to my female.
Arbitrary scale.
This is like a solid, like 45 degrees, and your golf game gets rained out.
I'm fine with that. 45 degrees, and you know, just a little too chilly for you wearing a t-shirt and shorts. Yeah. Something I learned the hard way, finally, in American high school. We're not ending Audio Face yet, but we're ending the news portion of Audio Face.
I'm not allowed.
And we always like to end on a fun note.
Am I still banned, by the way?
You're extremely banned. And so I'm going to drag Sean through landmines.
God, I want to say this.
I'm going to drag Sean through a field of landmines here and talking about Ariana Grande because we have to talk about the fact that... So Sean, hold. I will present... You will commentate.
I'm not allowed to comment.
Tread lightly.
Do you have any idea how bad this is?
Let me explain. Ariana Grande has been has a Japanese tutor. She's been learning more Japanese. She's been exploring that so far. Nothing's wrong with that. You're more than happy to do that. However, she went to get a tattoo for to represent one of her newer songs, Seven Rings. And it was going to be in, like, Japanese kanji symbols. She ended up getting the... she ended up getting the tattoo. Instead of saying Seven Rings, it basically says barbecue grill.
Shichirin, which means a small charcoal grill. Well, so to elaborate it for people who don't know Japanese, there's three different styles of characters and stuff. So when you read one, you don't know the other. Because my mom lived in Japan for a minute, and she knows. So she's like, "Oh, I can read two things. The other thing I can't read is like three different characters."
Imagine having different alphabets.
Yeah, and it's wild. So there's Kinji's kind of more common one. My mom can read that, so I should actually go up to her and give it over, like, what does this read? And she'll probably start laughing her ass off.
Yeah, so she got Shichirin instead of getting Seven Ring together in the proper way. How you place the characters matters a lot, as yes. in all languages. So that would...
Also, on the palm of your hand.
Yeah, we had a conversation about how that's an interesting place to get a tattoo. Thanks. Okay. If we're going to comment on musicians getting tattoos, and we just went through 6ix9ine, this is an upgrade.
This is an upgrade, but just... there's two types of tattoos that are awful. Face tattoos and palm of your hand tattoos.
No, I'd say there are two types of tattoos that are awful. Face tattoos and tattoos that are in a language that you don't speak that say some stupid shit on it.
I love when
white people get tattoos that are in Chinese. I love when I love when white people get tattoos that are in Sanskrit. I love that shit. It's one of
Sanskrit's my favorite.
It's one of my favorite things. And this story should be over right now, especially because Sean's sweating because we really are not allowed to talk about Ariana Grande. However, there's a round two because after being on the internet for a couple minutes, Ariana Grande quickly realized that the tattoo artist or her, whatever, had made an oopsie and, decided to post a conversation that she had, or screenshot conversation that she had with her Japanese tutor. She said, the tutor said, if you'd like, you'd add one more kanji character between them above the line, which would then create seven finger circle, which would mean seven rings in Japanese. So she does that. But the placement is wrong again. And so the tattoo now says Japanese barbecue finger heart.
I'm just not going to say anything. This is hilarious.
I would love to say, haha, Ariana Grande, white girl, she's not white. But she is doing that thing where she is trying to represent a culture that isn't hers and failing miserably. So I have no social justice thing to climb up, like to talk about this with. She got everything she deserved. Like, this is one time where fate has done better commentary than either Sean or I can do / are allowed to do.
The same.
So yeah, thank you, world, for giving us that one. And now for what might be...
Thank you, Jesus, I can talk again. There were so many things I wanted to say, but I'm like, no.
Please save them for after we stop recording, because I want to hear 90 of them. But before we talk about that controversy... that will never be heard. We'll talk about this controversy, which is the Super Bowl halftime show. So, long story short, the Super Bowl has a halftime show. Hand egg. Americans play it. Americans love it. A lot of beers can be consumed. Plumbing is going to suck at halftime.
Hand egg is my name.
Yeah.
That's why, instead of calling it football, because you don't use your feet like six times a game, I call it hand egg because the ball is the shape of the egg and you use your hands. Not football with your fucking feet.
For those of you who wonder, how did the podcast get a band name? Get a name like Audio Face? This is kind of close.
This is pretty. I mean,
we're pretty close to the same wavelength of how shit like this keeps happening.
Yeah.
But usually we don't care about the Super Bowl too much, except for its musical significance. We would especially not care because one of the performers this year is Maroon 5. But there is a music culture aspect to this, in the fact that the NFLs have a little problem with Colin Kaepernick and his protesting. So long story short, without the politics aspect.
Last year,
Long story short, without the politics aspect of it, there's a black former football player for San Francisco. His name's Colin Kaepernick. He protested.
If you don't know this, what are you doing?
It's actually a great point. But if I could sum it up in 15 seconds, he started protesting police brutality and other issues in the black community by kneeling down during the anthem. Other people didn't like that because they thought it was disrespectful. NFL basically prevents Colin Kaepernick from rejoining the NFL after he leaves, and he becomes an activist in the meantime. So it's been a very like hot button racial issue in America. And so when it came time to pick Super Bowl halftime performers, the NFL came to a problem. All of the performers are black. All of the people, all the roster that we would probably go to are black people. Can this work? And so they go to Rihanna first, and Rihanna says, a hard pass. Yeah. She's not going to perform the halftime show because of the Colin Kaepernick stance. Apparently, the NFL goes through a long roster of these things.
And it's because it keeps happening. We talked about that earlier this year.
Yeah, I mean, we covered this on Audio Face until they finally got through to Maroon 5. Maroon 5 said, yeah, sure, fuck it.
Yeah. Which I don't mind Adam Levine. I actually like him. He's pretty chill. His music's eh, but like.
And we especially didn't like Maroon 5 last year.
Or was it last year or 2 years ago? Whatever the last album was fucking rough. That's all I know.
Jesus Christ. Red Pill Blues.
Yeah, Red Pill Blues. Because I was like, Blue Pill Box, Red Wire.
That came out last year, and I remember because that was a contender for worst album of the year.
Okay.
So I was just kind of joking that the NFL Super Bowl halftime show is going to go from Janet Jackson's nipple slip to advertisements for mayonnaise. But Variety reported that the band reached out to more than half a dozen black people to possibly perform with them to make Maroon 5 not look like, I don't know, the governor of Virginia or something else similarly was racist. People like Andre 3000, Mary J. Blige, Lauryn Hill, Nicki Minaj, all of them said no. Cardi B was offered. She said no. Yep. There were rumors around why she said no, but ultimately it seemed to be that there was never a solid offer for her to say yes or no to, but she was not particularly interested because of the Colin Kaepernick thing. So it seems like it's all going, it's all like, this is the end. This is how it's going to go down. It's going to be Maroon 5 and the Mayonnaise Bowl. And then from the darkness comes Travis Scott.
And then everybody's favorite shitty Astroworld, Travis Scott, has to come along.
Yeah. So, Travis Scott announced in January that he, in partnership with the NFL, will donate $500,000 to the nonprofit organization Dream Corps, which I think
it's
related to Colin Kaepernick in a way that I don't fully understand. And then immediately after announcing that donation, Travis Scott announced he was going to be performing with Maroon 5 at the Super Bowl halftime show. Which, if we take this all out of a vacuum, this has been Travis Scott's biggest year in his like musical career.
Yeah, definitely.
Performing at the Super Bowl halftime show is not a crazy thing for him to want to do, and it's not a crazy like place to put him in. Mm-hmm. Removing all the other context we just gave you, once you put that in, Travis Scott looks like an Uncle Tom. So, the big controversy right now is, like, was $500,000 a low point, considering the Washington Post laid off, well, they did the math. The Washington Post is going to be running a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl. Why? No one knows. That 30-second ad cost $5.2 million.
You know who owns the Washington Post?
Okay, Sean is looking at me with a smiling face.
I wish Sean your face was going to see my face right now of just the immense eyes of the Gilded Guillotine Award to Mr. Jeffy S. Bezos.
Jeffrey Bezos.
Mr.
Recently divorced Jeffrey Bezos.
Dude, Mr. You forgot your prenup, you dumb fuck Bezos.
Richest man in the world doesn't have a prenup. Anyways, my point is saying that. A 30-second ad for the Washington Post is in only certain areas is $5.2 million. That is 64 laid off journalists for the price of that 30-second ad.
Yep.
And Travis Scott is settling for way half that, $500,000 of money he's doing with the NFL. Apparently there's going to be like a press conference with the musicians and the NFL that the public was going to see. Maroon 5 was saying that they're trying to cut that down. So basically,
NFL canceled that.
Yeah. Here's my analysis of this. The NFL doesn't care about the Colin Kaepernick thing. They just want to make it go away and continue making money.
Yeah, that's obvious.
They would still like people who make good music to perform at their Super Bowl show.
Yes, because it's a big thing. I mean, look at Michael Jackson performing the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
Like, that was a giant spectacle.
Yeah.
A couple other bands that want to have done that, and look how big it's been. So now it's just turned into a giant fiasco, but that's also just the NFL losing fans and stuff in general of the sport and other things. So they're backtracking and they're panicking a bit because they realize that they fucked up, but they don't care enough to unfuck their fuck up, basically. Yeah. To sum it up in layman's terms and everything and talk So
that's a pretty good point. And you're right that the NFL is, like, it used to be considered, hey, this is the big money maker in American sports. But no, they're hemorrhaging fans to the NBA, the NHL, all these other different
hockey,
leagues.
Folks.
All these...
If you want concussions, hey, at least we'll get fights out of it, you know? Hey, we'll give you concussions, but hey.
Hey, we'll give you some ice.
But exactly, but hey, well, at least we got a good concussion protocol. All right. We don't allow abusers on the ice except Patrick Kane, but we're talking about Patrick Kane.
The Syndicate 23 Sports Report.
Dude, I can go on and on.
But, like, the NFL is losing. We're kind of, obviously, like, mainstream... like, broke dick America is not paying attention to these conversations. They're like, yeah, sports ball, yeah, Jared
Pretty
Goff,
much.
Well, yeah, Carson Rams, whatever. But, like, the main idea behind all of this, it's
Carson Chargers. I wish the Carson Rams are a thing, but Carson, it would be more of the, where the hell is, what city does USC play in?
Oh, USC is, like, straight in LA.
That's straight LA. Like, oh, and I should say,
the Exposition Park.
Exactly. I'm like, not just any city. I meant like where it is, because it's in a shitty area. The Coliseum, you will get shot if you go two streets to the left of the Coliseum.
Yeah, Figueroa is not the city.
The Figueroa Rams. There we go. That's what it is. Figueroa Rams.
Wait, I'm... Well, I figure...
Because this is rough. Anyways...
No. The Vermont Rams.
Awesome.
Okay, so for everyone else, Vermont's like a nice, liberal, socialist state in the West with mountains and shit.
Beautiful mountains and shit, Bernie.
In L.A., Vermont's different.
Vermont Street in L.A. is where, man, it's where a lot of...
It gets dirty down there.
Yeah, it gets bad.
Anyways, the Alameda Rams. Let's hold for a second, let's hold her. But anyways, we've basically established that... at least what we're expecting going into and probably coming out of it. If it'll be any more significant than what we're describing, then I'll do a recording bit afterwards and it'll be a little thing. But it's just like, the NFL's royally fucked up. This is going to be a big, like, marker in their downfall, ultimately.
Just.
And,
with it.
If we were talking about this with all the other context removed, I don't give a fuck about Travis Scott and Maroon 5 performing together, only that's probably going to be terrible.
I actually don't want to
like
watch
this. What's the Grammys thing that's going to be happening soon? By the way, we'll be releasing videos of our Audio Face Award reviews.
Yeah.
Anticipation of the Grammys. But Post Malone and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I know it's Posty and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That might actually be better.
No, that may work. Remember, who does Red Hot Chili Peppers have? Flea. Flea could be our Lord and Savior in that catastrophe of a mashup.
You know my bias towards bass. I love drum and bass. Bass is one of my favorite instruments. I love my bassist. I love Flea.
Flea has worked with Tom York. Tom York's genius might have rubbed off on Flea, and he can save this.
Do you truthfully think
that
Flea can save
Coachella? I'm trying to give myself hope.
I know.
Okay?
The best way you can give yourself hope is just not give yourself hope at all and don't watch the Grammys.
Is irrational. The youngest from my two German listeners.
Oh my god.
Entschuldigung.
This is the most depressing fucking kid I have ever met in my entire life. Okay, we're about to end. I do want to point out that next week we've got Panda Bear and Ariana Grande albums that are coming out.
Oh, another. Oh god, I actually have to talk about this one. I'm gonna get bleeped.
So
you better fine tooth comb that episode. I'm warning you now.
So, audience, you have that to look forward to.
Panda Bear fucks with though.
Yeah, Panda Bear should be interesting. And then 2 weeks after that, we have just to kind of round out the rest of the month. We have
Black History Month,
Sarface, Home Shake, and what better way to celebrate Black History Month than with Lil Pump? This has been Audio Face. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod.
Don't Twitter. Don't do it.
I'm going to use Twitter more. Twitter is a thing we should be paying attention to. Hey, I'm getting the fuck out of big Facebook. I don't want to be involved in any of Zuck's social networks.
Told you so.
While he can, I mean, we all told you so, but it's okay. Zuckerberg can make his money overcharging poor people at his hospital in San Francisco. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean can be found on both, but apparently only Instagram at SW Suarez. Yes.
I don't fucking use Twitter. I just don't. Sorry. Instagram, I'm on that shit all the time. Like, use that.
Is there a single social network not run by a, like, anti-human psychopath?
No, because all the anti-human psychopaths tend to buy them out.
Capitalism.
Because I liked Kevin. Kevin was dope on Instagram until he sold out. Him.
Man, some of the Instagram people left. MySpace Tom's always the boy forever.
That's true.
Anyways, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Cheers.